Multipliers, welcome back to another episode of the Money Multiplier Podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Kessler, and we ask ourselves, do our dollars make sense? So today's going to be a short and sweet little episode, just because I'm out here in Barstow, California. So I've been crashing here the last few nights, and I need to get on the road. There's actually some folks I'm going to be meeting for lunch today, talking about policies and their family situation. So kind of just wanted to crank out a little episode before I hit the road here. But in today's topic, it's a commonly asked question that I get, which is, hey, why do we start multiple policies? And so I thought it'd be great just to do a podcast topic on it because, I mean, it's a commonly question that I get asked. And I mean, it's a fair question because some people will say, well, why would I start more policies instead of just keep funneling in more and more money into that existing one that I have? You know, doesn't it make more sense because it's older, it's more matured, it's compounding a lot better because it is an older policy? And so here's the answer to it. Inside of the policy, we can't just go in there and quote unquote increase the premiums. So here's my example, my real life example. When I was 18 years old and I started my first policy, it was back then, I was a waitress at Cracker Barrel, and y'all, that was the real deal, okay? So I have 4 stars on my apron, all right? And so back then, I started my first policy at $400 a month. And I've told y'all, you know, the reason of how I landed on that number of $400 a month, just because that's what I was saving at that time, my tip money. You know, I was saving up about $100 a week. And so dad says, okay, well, now that you're of age that you can own a policy, I want you to close out that savings account that you're putting that $100 a week into, and you're going to start your first policy $400 a month. And a question too I sometimes get asked, just let my ADD speak for a second. You know, the frequency of the premiums, we can do monthly, quarterly, twice a year, or annual premiums. So no, we can't just go in and do like a weekly premium or even a bi-weekly premium, you know, because some folks will ask me, well, hey, I get paid bi-weekly. Can I just send that premium in to the insurance company when I choose to every other week? And so no, the minimum frequency that we can do is monthly. Also, a question I sometimes get is, hey, will the insurance company just deduct it from my paycheck? And no, you know, so premiums have to get paid from your bank account, like an ACH or direct deposit transfer from bank account into policy. So, anywho, you know, back then I was doing $400 a month into my policy, and I was trucking along, I was doing that, and I was using it, and, you know, my first ever purchase, actually, with my policy was the MacBook computer that I just upgraded a few months ago, and the only reason I upgraded is just because I was naive back at the time, and I didn't understand the storage that I needed, so that's the reason I upgraded. So I'm thinking about selling my computer to my brother. So Zach, if you're listening to me, that MacBook is still for sale, but anyways, so I was using that policy. I was putting away $400 a month. And as time went on, I changed my occupation. I started to work with my dad here in this business, the Money Multiplier. And actually, I was an application specialist. And that's what I was doing. I was helping folks go through underwriting, completing the application, helping them get that exam set up, and then helping them get approved, and then even delivering that policy contract to them, which I think is phenomenal. So like, thanks dad for having me start there at the ground and working my way up, because now I just have a really good understanding and knowledge about how the insurance companies and the underwriters really think. Because I mean, honestly, y'all, at the end of the day, this is life insurance. It's a whole life policy, and we have to go through and get approved for that policy on the health side and even on the financial justification side, you know, because the underwriters are always looking at this from a death benefit standpoint. And I know us over here, we're always looking at it from how much cash and how much premium can we get inside of this thing. So go back and watch my episode where I talk about how is our insurability calculated, and I get really deep into that. But you know, so I changed my occupation. I was starting to do the application, and I joined the applications team, and I was making more money. And so I started to learn more and more about why I'm using my policies, and I had a need. I want to warehouse more than $400 a month inside of my policy, and I just can't go in there and increase the premium. So what I had to do is I had to start a second policy, and I started my second policy another $400 a month, so then I had a total of $800 monthly cash flow that was going towards policies. So that's the biggest reason. We can't just go in there and increase premium. So that's why we're opening up more and more. Now, here's what Nelson says. Nelson Nash talks about how these policies are almost like opening up a branch office of our bank. So if I have a storefront, whether it's a bank, a clothing store, a grocery store, a movie store, I don't know. But right, so if we have like a storefront and that location is doing really, really good, what do we normally do in business? Well, we expand. We'll open up a second location elsewhere and we'll expand the business. Same thing over here in the policy world. When you start to open up more and more policies, just think of them as nothing more than your branch office of your bank. And it doesn't matter what location that you go to, right? I mean, there could be a Bank of America on Main Street, and there can be a Bank of America on 4th Street. It really doesn't matter what location that you go to, they're all the same bank, and you can pull your deposits out of any bank that you do business with. And so it's the same thing in the policy world. So that's the reason why we start opening up more and more, because doesn't Nelson Nash teach us that all of our deposits have to flow through somebody's bank, and you want it to be your bank where you're the one who makes the interest, the profits, and the dividends rather than the bankers making a good living off of you. So that's all we're doing. As time goes on, hopefully the income starts rising, the assets start rising, that we have a need to want to warehouse more and more of our wealth inside of the policy. So that's my story. I mean, up to this point now in 2024, as I'm filming this episode, I have 7 policies that I actively use, putting close to $200,000 a year of my own premium inside of my own policies. And this is just what I do. Every single year, I try to expand and start more policies. And I've done it up to this point. You know, I started at 18. I'm now 24. I'm going on 6 years, 7 years into this stuff now. And so that's why I'm always opening up more and more, because here's something else. Remember my analogy that starting the policies is almost like starting a business from scratch. And the whole idea in the policy is get to year 4, because year 4 is that break-even year where now my premium that I put in, my cash is now growing by that same premium deposit. And then every single year after that, the borrowing power and the profits that I'm creating out of this policy just become stronger and stronger. And I mean, if you had a business and you knew exactly that this is how the business was going to operate, I mean, how many of these businesses do you want in your lifetime? So that's my mindset of why I'm starting policies each and every year, because I want to keep creating these businesses that are guaranteed to profit and increase as time goes on. And matter of fact, I mean, too, talking about like the banking concept of starting more policies versus like other businesses, like a clothing store, a nail salon, or whatever, you know, now you don't have the bitching and the belly aching of your employees calling in sick for work or taking vacations or holiday hours, and maybe it's snowing outside and they can't get to work, or I got to pay the overhead of the rent of the office and the products that I'm putting inside of there, right? I mean, I don't have any of that stuff. Okay, Daisy, is there a reason that you just jumped out of my van? Apparently she wanted to make an appearance, so hold on, we'll tell everybody hi. Hold on. So apparently I didn't close the door well enough in the van, so here you go, little girl, you can go explore around just for a little bit. But anyway, so we're going to head out of here. We're going to go and meet some folks that actually we just met not too long ago at the Veterans for Financial Freedom event this past weekend in San Diego. That was a lot of fun. That was a really, really cool event. So I'm going to go meet some of the folks that I met over there. And just keep helping serve people. I mean, this is how I run the business. It's a Zig Ziglar quote. If I help enough people get what they want, I'm in return gonna get what I want. And that's just the philosophy of how I run the business and how I operate my lifestyle. So I don't think I have any more comments. Really, it was just addressing the question of why do we start multiple policies? I mean, also we can kind of talk about the mech. I know I got deep details and podcast episodes talking about the mech limits and the policies, but that's another reason of why we got to start more and more, because you know you can't keep overfunding the policy, because if you keep overfunding it, then it may turn into that modified endowment contract, which is just an IRS tax law, meaning that if we overstuff the policy, then the government now is going to look at it as an investment, and then now they're going to start taxing us on it, and we don't want that. We want to keep all the tax-free benefits and growth that really come from this vehicle, and really I don't think there's any other vehicle on the planet that has all of these features and benefits like a whole life policy does. I mean, if y'all know something that I don't know, please tell me. Write into me. Send me an email. Hannah spelled the same ways forwards and backwards, Hannah@themoneymultiplier.com. So I told y'all this was going to be a sweet and short episode. Oh, last comment I'll make though too. So we can always increase the premiums, but no, we cannot decrease premiums. And, you know, even if we have to go in there, because life happens, right? We're going to have windfalls, we're going to have downfalls in life, and when it does happen, we can go in and decrease premiums, pull it back anywhere from 60 to 90%, depending on how that policy is designed. And then, yes, you have the freedom and the flexibility to keep paying back in up to that said premium. My only advice there, though, is just make sure that you at least just pay the minimum, or sorry, I keep looking back because I want to make sure my door's closed, but I just at least pay the minimum on that paid up addition premium to keep it attached onto the policy, which is just $10 a month or $120 for the year. So just pay that minimum to keep it attached on, and then you'll have that freedom and flexibility to keep paying back in up to that set premium. But if we don't, because here's the funky little quirk, if you don't pay into the paid up additions that minimum to keep it attached on, the insurance company will drop it off the policy, and then no, we can't add it back on anymore. We would have to just open up another policy to get that PUA attached back on, or then you got to go through the reinstatement process to get that paid up additions attached back on, which I'm not even going to get into the details on that, but I mean, it's not hard. It's just make sure you're doing your due diligence of paying the minimum to keep it attached, and then you'll have that free freedom to go up and down in that policy premium. Also, y'all, you guys know this, if you're clients of the Money Multiplier, connect with your mapping specialist, or sometimes I call them the implementation specialist. So connect with them, because they will be there to help you. They're reaching out to you 3 to 4 times a year. So just make sure you're staying in contact and always up to date with what's going on. All right, I gotta go chase my little girl down before she runs away on me. So stay tuned. I'll be back next week with longer episodes, and I'll catch you then. Bye, y'all.